So obviously, as you mentioned, you've been around a little while by the time you got to Super Unknown. Where were you guys at as you were recording that record? Because that changed everything. Were you in a place where you knew that was going to happen?
I think we'd just been continuously working since
the juggernaut had started.
87, you know? We'd been touring, making records, just doing it all. And we had really great opportunities to continue. And it seems like we were getting better offers. And, you know, we signed to A&M Records in, what, 88 or 89 or something?
We're growing fairly slowly but steadily.
I think, like, you know, when Ben joined the band, we had, like, so much more songwriting potential that this record before that, Bad Motor Finger, really, I think, highlighted the different aspects of the songwriting combinations. So by the time we got to Super Unknown, I felt like creatively we were kind of peaking at that point. We were playing really instinctively together, kind of telepathically, and we were able to sort of reach this level that, you know, I don't know, it sort of became second nature, but it was also really, really satisfying to us as songwriters and musicians to have everything sort of culminate with that record. But, you know, we also got bigger time per producer, and we were in a bigger studio. Exactly. So I think there was a focus to try to pinpoint, you know, certain sonic things that we hadn't had on our previous records and things like that. But as far as the songwriting and the music goes, it was just all part of this arc that we were on.
There were a number of singles off that record, and the first one, Spoon Man, won a Grammy for Best Metal.
Metal Performance.
Performance.
Strange.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. You get a Grammy for Best Metal Performance.
Silver for Spoons.
You know, prior to that, the things that were being referred to as metal were, it's kind of pop music with fuzzy guitars and hair dye, you know. So it's a lot of things were being considered metal that was really children's music, you know. So who knows?
I think in a way it fits, though, in terms of what the perception of it, of metal is, for example. And I think it is what you think it is. It is what you say it is. It's hard rock, I guess. And then metal became a genre, like alternative, which was a word to describe what wasn't getting played on mainstream radio, actually became a genre with rules and yeah, predominant sounds and things you couldn't do. We were one of the only bands, for example, that got played on 120 Minutes, which was an MTV indie show, and Headbangers Ball, which was a metal show. We were one of the first indie bands to get commercial rock radio airplay in different cities, including
and a Grammy
Los
nomination.
Angeles.
Ultra Mega OK on SST was nominated for a Grammy,
which was kind of unusual.
I think at the time, though, music fans were much more divided into liking a particular style of music.
And they're really strident about it, too.
That's how they wanted to market everything. Like, they didn't want you to know that Phil Lynott hung out with the Sex Pistols. They wanted to make rock this, punk that.
Sure.
Because they figured they could sell it easier.
It's easier to market.
Separating things.
But if you listen to
metal,
it's
kind of odd to polarize these two things when they're all pretty much listened to by young white men.
But if you listen to metal music, you are probably not listening to pop music, something like that. Whereas Black Hole Sun came along and crushed all those barriers. That was mainstream success for you. Yeah. So there's a couple of things that that come to mind out of it. First of all, MTV played a key role in that. Mm-hmm. Back when MTV played music. And I'm also wondering, did MTV drive radio?
I think I was told during that period by people that had, like, their names on parking spots that would change. It depended literally on the week. If there was suddenly a song blowing up at radio that MTV didn't support yet, but it was blowing up at radio, they would play the video. It didn't matter what it was. And then if MTV somehow got a huge reaction from a video and radio had never heard of them, radio would follow MTV. But what I do know is, however it got on to television, that had a huge impact, particularly on Seattle rock bands, because suddenly you're getting 15 to 20 spins a day of your video on a television station that exists worldwide, and everyone in every country that has MTV is now seeing that video all at the same time. It wasn't like say when the Beatles hit, they hit different markets, and it took a long, you know, it took a couple of years for the whole world to go, oh, the Beatles? With MTV, that didn't, with Smells Like Teen Spirit, that happened in a week.
Yeah.
Same thing with Welcome to the Jungle. It was immediate. Yeah. And I think that has a lot to do with the size of these record sales. You know, for an album to sell 5 or 10 million couldn't have happened without the fact that that album had its own TV show internationally.